At first, they didn't know. It was disguised by the motley silt of the womb, those red strands marbling the white scud of the vernix, and they were distracted by the baby's cries and the task of severing the twisty blue link to its mother. The midwives passed the baby to its grandmother, whose name was Giovanna. She held it, noted that it was female, and used her pinky to swipe a cross into its grimy forehead. Only then did Giovanna peer closer. What's this? Hair? Long, dark, sticky swirls of hair all over the stippled skin of her first and only granddaughter. The midwives were still circling the mother's shipwrecked body, tending to her, murmuring like the sea, the child's cries like that same sea breaking. Giovanna swaddled the baby in elaborate folds and handed the burden to its bearer. The mother, whose name was Adriana, looked down at the hairy little face and promptly fainted. Giovanna grabbed the baby just before it tumbled off the bed. The midwives laughed. Such drama. The wool would fall out. The whelp had just forgotten to eat it in the womb. Adriana woke to firm entreaties that she breastfeed. She took the baby into her arms. The hair seemed to have already grown longer and darker. Through it, she could just about see a purple hole opening and closing, letting out a mewling sound. Fine. Go on. Her fingers wrangled with the baby's lips over the nipple until it latched. The baby sucked noisily. The hair on its face shivered with the pulse of its mouth, and Adriana stroked it, crying softly at its warmth. Giovanna and Adriana bundled the baby up, bundled it home, and kept it there. They waited, but despite the midwife's promises, the hair didn't fall out or wipe away. So they began to cut it, Giovanna with great avidity, Adriana with cowed carefulness. It grew back, thick and fast, as if unravelling from the knot in the belly or the cowlick on the chest, a dark drain into which Adriana's eyes often spiralled as she breastfed, wondering who or what was to blame for this curse. The child's father was a man named Giacomo Gavuzzi, and there were reasons to suspect that he carried hectic blood. In 1888, his father, a hotelier named Pietro Gavuzzi, had sailed from Italy to England to learn the trade. He'd picked up a wife in London and carted her off pregnant to the middle of Africa in 1899. Lina was born on the way, in the middle of the Kalahari. Giacomo was born 6 years later. After stints at the Grand Hotel Bulawayo and then at the Victoria Falls Hotel, Pietro had hoisted them all up again and dragged them around the world for a time. The Savoy in London again, the Plaza in Buenos Aires. The Gavuzzi family had finally returned to Piedmont in the early 1920s. So much migration at such an early age lent the Gavuzzi children a slapdash worldliness. They had money, but their education was poor, their manners poorer. When Lina came of age, she married a local governor in Alba and moved into his family estate, Villa Serra. Her younger brother Giacomo never quite settled down. Rootless, restless, he became a professional malingerer. Like the other men in Alba, with empty heads and idle hands, Giacomo spent his days drinking and recovering from drink, mostly at his sister's home, where he knew he would be waited upon in style. That was how he met Adriana, who worked there as a domestic servant. It was not a serious affair, and everyone knew Giacomo had left his seed in more than one woman in Alba. Of these, Adriana was the only one who had birthed the baby covered with hair. Maybe Giacomo Gavuzzi was not to blame, but Adriana vowed that she would not name their daughter, as was customary, after his mother, Ada. Not an Italian name anyway, and too recognisable in a town as small as Alba. and suspiciously like her own name besides. Instead, Adriana named the baby after an oracle card, the kind that you use to read tarot. She found it at Villa Sera while washing dishes. It was stuck to the base of a wine glass, which she had upturned to pour out the syrupy remainder of Barbera. The card was large and creased, and had a sketch of a stout dame in a feathered hat rebuking an aristocratic fellow. In florid script across the top it said, Contrarietà, and across the bottom, Dispiacere. The moment Adriana read it, she felt the sharp knuckly clutch of her first contraction. She gasped a curse and crossed herself. She took a breath and continued to wash dishes as contractions quaked over her until it became clear this was the event she had been anticipating. It was time to head to the house on the outskirts of town where midwives served the less fortunate. As she shuffled towards the back door of the kitchen, Adriana decided, or rather the decision made itself. To name a child displeasure was obviously to ask for it, so she chose the word on the back of the card, Sibilla.